Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today to all campuses. Come on, Florida, you can do better than that. Our city, Ferguson, Weldon, Sunset Hills Online. Man, that house was a mess. We burnt that bad boy down last week, right? You know, today I want to talk a little bit about your house being on fire and our job and what Jesus wants from us at Christmas. Some of y'all know it's not your birthday. Slide your hand up. It's not your birthday. It is not our birthday. It is Jesus' birthday. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not about the gifts under the tree, but the gift who hung on the tree, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give it up for Jesus one more time. That's why we're in the house today. You know, so what would Jesus want? You know, I think Jesus looks at all of us today and the campuses, whichever one that you're at, and I think about each one of them that have a story, say like Weldon, for instance, today. I remember when God led us into that campus, or Ferguson, or Sunset Hills. They all have a story, and really the story was just a couple of people on our team, and I, and Nicole, and we just went in, and in a way, we were firemen. You know, firemen risked their lives running into burning buildings every week, not knowing whether or not, you know, they're going to be safe, and they also don't know the names of the people in which they're running into the building for. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave, obviously. It's a season of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so if Jesus was so concerned about us before we were even us, when he's concerned about people that are just not even born yet but will be born, he died for those people. And so what he wants from us is what he calls the Great Commission. Everybody shout the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says this, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, the world is on fire. I think America right now is actually a dumpster fire. How many of y'all would agree with that? It's just like chaotic. It's a mess. There's so much stuff, and we won't go into it all, but we all know there's a lot of strife, confusion, and every evil work. So if the house is on fire, the answer is not a political party. The answer is not a policy. The answer is not a drug. The answer is still found in that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, I can't hear you really well. Let's just talk about this. Sometimes you got to really focus on what the main thing is. If you're not careful, you get to thinking about, you know, this time of the year is all about our house, and obviously all of our lobbies are decorated beautifully, and maybe your home is decorated beautifully. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I love it that people celebrate Christmas. And I believe that the light symbolizes that Jesus is the light of the world. But there comes a time, and we're getting ready to be there next week, where Jesus said, I want you to turn your focus and your attention towards the house of God. And we find this passage of scripture in the book of Haggai. I don't want to go there, and I'm going to jump for sake of time to verse 2. It says, thus speaks the Lord of hosts. If God's talking, we need to pay attention. This, he says to the people, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves who dwell in paneled houses, and this temple lies in ruins. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I want you to underline that at all campuses and just say it with me. Shout, consider your ways. So what's happening here is God's temple's been destroyed. We know that this was $1 billion with a B in today's economy. Billions of dollars to build God a house, and it was inlaid gold, and it was the finest of materials, and this house was destroyed. And for 16 years now, the people of God are just laying in limbo, and they're not really focusing on God's house. They're focusing on their own house. And God says, hey, is it a time for you to be focusing on your house? Now, certainly we know this, that the Bible says when we give, it'll be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So in meaning this, that if we focus on God's house, God will boomerang it around, and he'll focus it on our house. I prophesied to you that you would have 5 years of grace and favor. We're coming up on 2022. That means there's four left. And so many people at our church have watched as they have focused on God's house, went to God's house, worshiped at God's house, brought their kids to God's house, that a it totally changed their house. Come on, give God praise today. So that's what God is saying. Is it really a time? Is it really a time for you just to focus on your house instead of my house? Consider your ways. Check this out, verse 6. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but you're still not warm. And you earn wages, check this out, you earn wages to put it in a bag with holes in it. Again, the next verse says, consider your ways. So many times people go to work and they try to climb the corporate ladder and they do everything they can. I'm going to turn it this way because I want to climb it just a little bit. They climb the corporate ladder and they're like, all right, I'm going to go to work, too busy to go to church. I'm going to work all night, too busy to visit with my family. I'm going to continue to work because I'm going to climb up this ladder. And then sometimes they wind up putting the ladder on the wrong building. Anybody ever seen that? You're like, yeah, I'm on the wrong ladder. Or they kick people off the ladder on their way up, and then you meet those jokers on your way down. Can I get an amen on that? So again, I don't want to paint the wrong picture that God doesn't want you to climb the ladder. He does, but you won't be striving in your own works. One rung of the ladder might be just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The next rung of the ladder might be, you know what, I'm going to go to growth track and I'm not just going to make church about me. I'm going to see if I can serve God in church and help other people because I'm called to be a spiritual fireman and rescue people, whether that's through my time, my talent, or my treasure. Come on, give God praise today. That's what I'm going to do. But if you continue, is it time to continue on the same path that you were in 2020? In 2021, are you going to say, wait a minute, I'm going to turn that ladder around like I did a moment ago and say, I'm going to get the ladder positioned so I'm actually who I want to be and I'm actually doing what I want to do. Then God stops. The last verse said he's going to stop putting a bag with holes in it. Many translations say that you're putting your money in your pocket, but your pocket has holes in it and falls away. May I predict to you that it's not more money that you need, it's that you need the blessing from the blessor on your money. I've watched this happen so many times. I mean, thinking about Earth City right now, many of you are sitting in that beautiful auditorium, and that building was about $21 million they had invested in that building. And because of an economic downturn, and because our church was focused on God's house, we were able to buy that building for $6.3 million, and thousands of people have gotten saved. Their lives have changed. Their families have stayed together because there was a group of people before you that said, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to reposition myself in 2008 and 2009. These were the people that were climbing the ladder with Nicole and I, and they said, we're not just going to worry about paneling our houses. We're not just going to worry about flat screen TVs in our houses. We're not going to worry about a home theater in our house. We're going to turn our attentions towards God's house, and they built that house. Some of them are in heaven today, but I promise you, they have an eternal return on investment, and they're glad they did it. I'm glad they did it, and we ought to celebrate those people here today. Come on, don't patty cake. That's a big deal. But a lot of people have a bag with holes in it. Verse 7 says, so consider your ways. Go to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. I got a question. Do you want to glorify God? Raise your hand, all campuses. You want to glorify God? Yeah. If you want to glorify God, it says that one of the ways that we glorify God is building God's temple. When I think about all the great things that we do, such as today, in Haiti, there's, you know, medical centers that we've helped build and ambulances that we fully funded. When I think about girls that were rescued out of sex trafficking, when I think about all the thousands of people who eat on a yearly basis on our food pantries at our campuses. We don't talk about that stuff every week because we're preaching the word and we move forward, but because we focused on God's house, we have really kind of warehouses, or you might say a medical care center, and my dad would call it a Holy Ghost hospital. It's a place and a space to where people can watch on television and they can come receive the word of the living God. And when they receive that information, it gives them power. When they receive that power, it gives them transformation. And they're not just getting information anymore like a college degree, although that's nice, nothing wrong with it. But there's a lot of educated people who are on a dead-end path. They got holes in their pockets. They're climbing the wrong ladder. They work for 20 years, and then they get knocked off the ladder. Then their house is on fire. Their family goes through a divorce, and people live in different homes. May I tell you that when you serve God, I'm not saying everything's going to go perfect. I'm not saying you're not going to go through stuff. I'm saying that you're going to go through it, though. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. This is what happens when you do it God's way. By the way, you got to ask yourself, did it work well the way you used to do it? It says this. It says, you've looked for much, and indeed, verse 9, you've looked for much, but it came to little. When you brought it home, it blew away. Why? It's a great question. The Lord says, my house is in ruins while your house is taken care of. Therefore, the heavens are above, and they've withheld their dew, and the earth below its fruit. It's called a drought in the land. I've caused this drought. God said, I did it. I'm going to cause a drought. Now, when I think right now about these houses that are on stage and you're watching today in St. Louis or really around the world, I think about that maybe your house, you feel like even in America, that's in a drought. We know that there's all this stuff going on. It's $90,000 to fill up your gas tank. And if you weren't trained right, then you're griping at the system instead of saying, you know what, this is just a great opportunity for me to exercise my faith. This is a great opportunity for me to witness to other people because I'm so blessed by the blessor. No matter how high it gets, I don't like it, but I'm not going to gripe and complain and remain. I'm going to say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, give God praise today. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. My pants don't have holes in the pockets. They got a lot of holes on the top, but they don't have holes in the pocket. They're going to retain that, and they're going to remain with me so your money goes further. And God causes and allows that. He allows bad things to happen in the world. God does not cause that, but he allows it. How else will people want to go to church? How else will people want to come to the house of God? I truly believe that there can be such a famine in the land that the only place people can really afford coffee is at church. So let's let whatever happen in the world and let's keep building God a house where people can have safety, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken, because that's what Jesus called us to do. I love it. Everybody shout, I love it. Chapter 2, it says this, verse 3, it says, who is left among you who saw the temple in the former glory? How do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes nothing? Yet be strong. I love that. Yet be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong. He says it again. So it sounds like there's going to be some problems. Joshua, then he says it again. Hey, be strong, high priest. Be strong, for I am with you. I am with you, says the Lord. I think it's important to make sure that you teach your kids and you teach yourself that being in the house of God gives you the ability to stay strong. Ephesians 6 and 10, if you're a note taker, I know there's some people at our city that are big note takers. They always, you know, put it on Instagram every week. And I love people that take notes in church. You know, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory, right? And I always say this in Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It does not say be strong for the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord. So when you come to the house of God, you reframe your thinking, and you say, you know what? I am who he says I am. We start singing those songs. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Now when you're squeezed by the pressures of life, when you're climbing the ladder, you know, I don't have to knock anybody down. God's going to accelerate me up the ladder. None of the rungs on the ladder are going to break. My marriage is going to stay intact. My health is going to stay intact. No weapon formed against me will prosper. With long life, COVID, I'm here to tell you. Cancer, I'm here to tell you. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me the salvation of God. Come on, give God praise today. Come on, Weldon, make some noise, Ferguson. But he said, did anybody see it in its former glory? Let's talk about that. Here's one of the things that you need to really recalibrate your mind about, is that things are not the way that they used to be. Everybody's always asking, will it go back to the way it was? Have you lived long enough like me and you've actually romanticized some of the past? You're like, oh man, it was great. I remember when. Y'all think of this as a trick question. I know you're not playing along in Florida, but in St. Louis, raise your hand if you've romanticized it. And then all of a sudden you started thinking, man, for instance, I did this not long ago. Somebody stole, I had a really cool Rolex watch that my dad died. And when he died, I got the watch, right? And I had it for years. He's been on to be with the Lord for like 17 years. And There were some contractors doing some work at our house, and the watch was laying on the dresser or something, and it was gone. It was stolen, and there was nothing I could do about it. And it was actually worth way more money than I thought when I checked it. We had it insured, but it was only insured for a very low amount, and it was worth way more. I was driving down the road on my motorcycle. I was kind of griping about it. I said, man, I just feel so bad. You know what I mean? I can't believe that happened. And just, you know, I hate stuff being stolen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You give something away, but you don't want something stolen, you know? And it was stolen. And I was thinking, man, my dad gave me that watch. And the Lord just told me right then. He said, your dad didn't give you that watch. Your dad sold you that watch. I thought, my God, he did. I remember when he told me, I'm going to give you a good deal on this watch. And in my mind, I've romanticized that my dad left me that watch. No, my dad sold me that watch for $3,500, which was a really good deal because it was worth about $4,500. But God just remembered, come on, somebody, your dad didn't give you that watch. Your dad sold you the watch. So I'm here to tell you today that sometimes we romanticize the former glory and we don't celebrate where we are. And if we don't celebrate where we are, we can't celebrate where God wants us to go. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. Former glory. The Bible says your latter house will be greater than your former house. Chapter 6 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, in a little while. Everybody shout, a little while. In a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the dry sea and the land, and I will shake the nations. We're seeing a little bit of that right now. And I will fill, I love that, this temple with glory. Everybody shout that with me. I will fill this temple with glory. Come on, all campuses, shout it again. Why? I will fill this temple with glory. One more time, I promise. I will fill this temple with glory. Is that talking about all churches? He's saying the churches that are in alignment with the assignment of God on their life, God is saying, I'm going to shake the heavens. Gas might get high. Disease might get rampant, but after all, have you been trained for this? Don't you know that there is a weapon that's formed, but it will not prosper? And if you go to the wrong church, you say, woe is me, and the church is over, and I don't want to go. I'm telling you, the church is just getting started. Our latter days will be greater than our former days. I'm expecting a Holy Ghost revival to hit our church in 2021 and bust out at the seams at every campus, because guess what? This is God's house. Come on, I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Hey! Oh, yeah. Are you feeling what I'm feeling? It feels good up in here. I will fill this house with glory. Now, in the law of first mention, if you look up glory in the Bible, it says a weightiness, kabod, the weight of God. But it also says you cannot interpret the scripture without going back, all scripture, without going back and finding out what they call the law of first mention. And the law of first mention, this word glory means money. So it says, I will fill this house with M-O-N-E-Y. You say, well, I don't know. You need to harmonize that with the canon of the scriptures. Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you keep reading, it says, I will fill this house with glory. And then it says, the silver is mine. That's money. And the gold is mine, says the Lord. And this glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former temple. Who said so? The Lord. So here's what I want you to do. It says that in this place, I will give peace. Peace. Peace, by the way, is something you can't buy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you're a note taker, find that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. My daddy did give me that. He told me, learn this, and you can break it up. Because I thought, man, that's a long scripture, Dad. He said, you just break it up in threes. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So I was like, I can do that. Thank God for a dad who raised me in the house of God, in the house. He had a heart for the house. You got to have a heart for the house. Don't you think for 1 second your kids are going to turn out right if you don't get them in the house? I'm going to shout it again. I say, you got to get them in the house. Every crazy thing that you hate about you is going to be on them if you don't get them in the house. Pray for my kid. He's crazy. He acts just like you. Get him in the house. So it says, I will fill, verse 7, again it says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. And he said, the latter temple shall be greater than the former. So let's talk about that for a minute in our last few minutes. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. I brought the Nielsen ratings. I'm going to pull it up because I want to quote it exactly right. How many of y'all have heard of Nielsen ratings? Like every week I get an email, and here's what the email said this week. Every week, I just pulled this one for fun. It says, this last week, St. Louis, according to Nielsen, had 100,130 people watch our program. West Palm Beach had 108,079 people watch our church program for a total of 208,210 people, according to Nielsen, in just those two counties. That's not talking about all the other networks we're on. It's just those. So guess what? That cost a lot of money. And guess who paid for it? You did, the people who tithe and give. So when you get to heaven and you go to walk into the pearly gates and you go there, there is an account with your name on it. And it won't be just me and Nicole who get the glory for getting those people saved, because we couldn't do that on our own. Because you know the rules. I said, I'm not going to go on television because I'm not going to ask for money. But then God gave me a great son. He was 7 and his daddy used to send the child support. And God told me our first network that we were on was ABC in St. Louis. And it cost thousands of dollars to do that every week. And God said, if you'll go on there, I'll send the child support just like Kurt does for Austin. He said, feed my kids and I'll send the child support. May I tell you that I've never lacked or been late one day for over 17 years being on secular television, and I've never asked for a dime because of you. Come on, somebody who had a heart for the house. I was able to say, I'm not pointing the finger at you this way. I'm pointing at you this way. We're here to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. If you come out today, we make you feel right at home. Instead of saying, if you don't send $1,000 today, we're going off the air. I'm going to send you this holy oil right now. I need you to buy this book. We didn't do any of that. There's nothing maybe wrong with that. But God led me just to feed people and to love people. And I love it because I can go to any sports bar in either county and people are going to come up slobbering on me drunk knowing that he loves me. He didn't want anything for me. I'm not a TV evangelist, but I'm a pastor who's on television. Come on, give it up for yourself. And when you get to heaven, all these emails, that's an email right there. Those are the ratings, okay? That's the email. When you get up there, there will be an account of all the people who got fed, all the people who got clothed. Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. We have all that ministry going on. And just because you're not on the street does not mean that it's not going into your account. God's going to bless you in your business. He's going to bless you in your home. And that way you can serve at church, but also sow in church, so we can take our third state, Illinois, for Jesus and take over a movie theater. Come on, somebody right now, that showed all kinds of diabolical things. And guess what? People are going to go into Illinois and they're going to be saved, filled, healed, and delivered. Somebody ought to get excited today. Our latter will be greater than our first. You know, to have a good home, it takes commitment. If I was a cheerleader, I would say, be committed. Be committed. Come on. Be committed. All campus, be. One more time. You sound good. Be committed. Be committed. Yay! I'm too old to jump up and go down. I had an issue where I broke my leg one time on chase. I ain't trying that one more time. That was too committed. But be committed. Be committed. You know, if you're not committed, you might be committed someday. Because you're not committed. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So here's what Faith Church needs. Faith Church needs you to be committed. When I think about people this last week at Tuesday night service, I was in Florida this week. I'll be Tuesday night at Sunset Hills, but I was there. And there's a couple at our church that they serve all the time. They're super committed. Their lives were changed, older. And they go to take me because I didn't have anybody to go to church with me that night. And I was riding my motorcycle home, and they walked me to my motorcycle. They put my bags in there. We're getting ready to leave. And they said, hey, Pastor David, are you good? Because we're getting ready to leave. We're actually, and the husband said, we're going to take her to the ER. And I'm like, what? I said, oh, yeah, the doctor said she needed to get to the ER before church, but we needed to serve, so we're like, well, we'll come after we're done. I'm like, say what? Be committed. Be. I said, what? And I said, yeah, I got this issue, and I got to go get a little surgery, but I didn't want to miss my post. I didn't want to back up. By the way, this is where the small print comes in. I do not encourage you to behave as they did in any way because I don't want the church to be sued. But I do want to say that they trusted in the Lord with all their heart. They didn't lean to natural understanding. They knew, you know what? If I'm going to the hospital, first I'm going to go see the great physician, and I'm going to the house. I got a heart for the house. I'm going to sow at the house. I'm going to serve at the house. I'm going to work at the house. Somebody ought to give God praise today. It's about the house. So you need to be committed. You say, well, do I need to be committed in every area of my life or just some of my life? It's every area of your life. The Bible said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together in my house. And as the evil day approaches, how many of y'all would vote at all campuses that it's, you think it's here? How many of y'all think the evil day is here? As the evil day approaches, it says, do it all the more. Here's a question. Do you think the American population is doing it more or less? That's right. They're not going to church more. They're doing it less. And then the enemy, here's the thing. The enemy tries to get us comfortable. And I'm not, there's a difference between, you know, being at rest and being actually uncomfortably, for me, comfortable. Where he said, I don't have to go to church. I already know the word. I already kind of know his stories. I mean, I've read all that. Or you saying, no, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for righteousness. And God, I actually want to grow up. Check this out. I'm almost done. I want to grow up and it not be about me anymore. I have a little grandson, and the reason they call him a grandson, it costs him a grand every time I see him, right? And Christmas isn't really about us at our house anymore. It ain't about me. I'm not like, man, you know what? I didn't get what I wanted. You know, I got this. Wonder what's in here. Remember when you were little and you were shaking it? Come on, raise your old lazy hand. Anybody remember that? You're trying to guess what it is. You're trying to look at everything. Back before Amazon, you just had a Sears catalog. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You're thumbing through it, and you're ripping through it, and you're showing your dad and mom everything, and they want to die because they're like, I can't afford this. And it was about you. But then there was a day where it flipped, and, you know, those phases in life where, you know, I forget exactly what it is, but it's like you believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus. You are Santa Claus, and then you look like Santa Claus, right? It's the phase of the life. So whatever phase and space you're in right now, there will be a season in your life at your house where it's not about your gifts anymore. It's about the gifts that you want to give to the children. May I tell you that God is there? That God got there a long time ago when he realized that, you know what, I love my son so much and he's only my son, but I've got to have a heart for the house, and I'm going to take Jesus and make him climb down the ladder and make himself a normal man, and he would be the substitutionary sacrifice for all of us, and his blood would redeem us, and he would go into hell and so we didn't have to go, and then he would come back with the keys to death, to hell, and the grave, and lead captivity captive, and then we, this time of the year, come on somebody, would celebrate his birth. Oh! His life and his resurrection. So in your life and my life at all campuses today, we got to say, hang on a minute. God kept asking us in that passage, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Where are you at right now when you consider it? Is God first in your life or is he last? Is church an option? Or is it like, no, I went through growth track. I'm serving. By the way, if you're not serving, you're swerving. And then you got to say, I don't know why I got holes in my pocket, because you're trying to make it all about you. And you're climbing up a ladder, and God can help hold the ladder, or the enemy can shake the ladder and knock you off of it. So who's holding your ladder today? Are you thinking about your house, or are you thinking about God's house? Listen, as I close, if you'll start thinking towards God's house, and you start appropriating funds towards God's house, and you start prioritizing God's house, God will totally bring it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and you will never for one second regret building God's house. We sing those songs, right? Build your church, build your church, build it from the ground up, build your church. And there was old songs that says, I did it my way, right? Remember Elvis singing those songs, you know? They were all about me. Your life has to get to a point, and I believe that this is the year that it needs to happen, where you change your perspective and say, the gifts are no longer about me. It's not my birthday, but it's Jesus' birthday. If you didn't get it, any of the campuses, if the last couple of weeks you have not gotten this brochure, the ushers are going to make their way at our city in Ferguson and Sunset and every campus. If you want one of these and you didn't get it, you're going to want it, number one, because there's a great picture of me and Nicole in there that's been photoshopped, and I look so much thinner and younger. Come on, somebody, give it up for God and the people who can do that. It's just like, man, it doesn't look like me at all, but I'm so glad of what they've done. So if you want one of those, raise your hands. Don't be ashamed. It's if you need one, or you got one, you want another one. There's nothing wrong with that. It talks about, people ask me all the time, Pastor David, what does five mean? It means grace and favor. And then it goes into the fact of like, where are we at in that five-year program? So right now we got 4 years left of 5 years of grace and favor. I kind of tell that story. Then it tells all the great things, not all the great things, but some of the great things that you've done, like the salvations that have happened, the global impact, the amount of people that we're reaching. It kind of shows that because we're doing so much. And then the centerfold of this is that great church that God has called us to build. You may never go to Illinois, but you will receive a reward when you get to heaven for building a church, maybe in a state you've never been to. By the way, people ask me, is this in Chicago? It's not. It's just right across the bridge from St. Louis. You go into East St. Louis, which I believe is one of the top places in America to get murdered. So you don't have to drive through that area to get there, but we're actually believing that we're going to change that statistic by having a church near that area. I believe that people from East St. Louis are going to come to our church, they're going to get delivered and changed at the house. That's your point to clap right there. We're going to impact that area. It's got the seating in there, and what we're doing there is every week we are going to take this envelope. We're going to have two envelopes in church. Every week we're going to have a regular tithe, and then an offering, and then we're going to have the heart for the house, where we say, hey, hang on, coming up next weekend, next Saturday and Sunday, we're going to bring our best gift to God's house. We're going to turn our heart towards the house. And so then next week we'll count everything that you've given. For those of you that sow into this, I promise you, many people have sown the last few years, and God has increased them so much where they were just given $1,000 to give him $5,000. Where some people only was able to give $5, have given $500. They're just increasing. So wherever you are on that scale, I'm going to pray for you in a moment. And next week's when we're saying, God, man, my credit card's really not reflecting. It's reflecting I went to Target, and it's reflecting I bought all the stuff from Amazon for me and my kids, but it's really not showing that I took care of your house. And this is the time for not only you, but your business to say, I'm going to turn our affection towards God's house. And every week for the next, till we get this done, you'll get a slide. I think they have a big slide there, and it's a fill in the blanks. By the way, we haven't even received the offering, and you can't stop our generous church from giving. They've already given $46,924.45. So there's 2,500 of those little slots at $1,000 a piece. So the goal should be, you should at least say, I'm for sure buying one of those seats for that church in Fairview Heights. And then some of you can buy five. And then so on and so on. But next week, next Saturday and Sunday, I believe is the time where we're saying, we only do it one time a year, where we say, this whole thing is about you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to pray for you at each campus. And I want you to listen to God today, because I really believe he's going to speak to you. I believe he already has spoke to many people who are saying, man, you know what, for the first time, I want to turn my whole heart towards God, because I'm tired of having these holes in my pockets and losing money when I should be an investor in an eternal ROI in God's kingdom. God, right now, I pray over every business, over every individual, over every marriage, every person who's concerned about a family member who's having health issues. And God, today we turn our affection towards you, and God, I ask you that you begin to resolve and heal and deliver and set free each and every person, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. God, I ask you to move up and down the aisle at Sunset Hills and in and out of Weldon and up and down Ferguson and Earth City. God, touch them right now. And God, speak to them what you would have them to do next week when we come in here and we say, you know what? This is the week that we've got to focus on Jesus. And God, next week we're bringing our offering to you. And God, I believe you're going to speak to many of them right now. I want you to open your eyes and look at me just for a minute. How many of y'all believe me to be a man of God? Raise your hand if you believe that. I promise you, I just heard the Lord say. He said, just pause for a moment and allow me to speak to my people. Just be quiet for about 15 seconds. So that's what I'm going to do. Close your eyes. They're going to play, and God's going to speak to you. We will do it. We will do it. Everybody shout, I will obey the word of the Lord in my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand as you watch Matt's story.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.